let's begin where it says Dibur b'lashoyin hakodesh. Okay, after we've had three shiurim on Lashon HaKodesh, verse Aramaic and other languages, so this is something nice.
Second page.
This is the second page?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do it anyway. What's the difference, right? Okay, let's see. There's a discussion, are you allowed to teach your children Lashon Yevanis, Greek? And that's the language. There's another discussion, not here in this Gemara, about teaching your child Chochmas Yevanis. Not to confuse the two. Chochmas Yevanis is itself is a question, what it means. Philosophy, Greek philosophy, versus the language. Two different things. Vinei. What? The Gemara also mentions Chochmas Yevanis. Vinei b'Yushalmi tana b'shem Rabbi Meir, kol mi shekavua b'Eretz Yisrael, b'dav b'loshon HaKodesh, v'eichel peiroi secha b'tahara, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, and you speak l'shoin kodesh, and you eat its fruits, b'tahara, v'kari kriyashon b'b'ayker, v'erev, yehei mevusar sheben oylam haba. You are guaranteed to enter oylam haba. Who? Uperish b'karban ha'eda, k'ar made the perish on the Yushalmi, oichel perosecha b'tahara shegorim taharas haguf, b'dav b'loshon HaKodesh, Shagorim Taharas Hanefesh. So here he says something very fascinating. That speaking in Hebrew enhances the Tahara, the purity for your neshama, something supernatural. Taharas Hanefesh. Now you have to remember, when we learned about Klein Sefer, historically they did not speak Lashon Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael. So this Yushalmi, this is a Yushalmi which is going back long, long ago. Okay, because for all of the Yeshuvim, okay, that was part. I don't remember the details, but this is something he presented very strongly in the Sefer, Rabbi Klein, is that even in Eretz Yisrael, Hebrew was not the common language. It was not the spoken language.
In the early 1900s, it was Ladino.
Mm-hmm. And even when they made the State of Israel, there was a very big debate, as you know, there was a very strong push that the official language would to be German, not to be a...
Or is even modern Hebrew considered Lashon Kodesh?
We had that discussion. Modern Hebrew is yes and no. It's a bit of a mix. It's not true Lashon Kodesh. Modern Hebrew is not a true Lashon Kodesh, but it is built upon the foundation of Lashon Kodesh. There are many okay, that's part of the discussion. So here we have over here. He brings down this Yushalmi, this something which historically was not happen, but he brings down this very fascinating idea that when you speak in the Lashon Kodesh, you are bringing to your neshama tahara. Al lemidas Lashon HaKodesh, on teaching Lashon HaKodesh, kosva Rambam, shehi mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Now the Rambam did something that was very unique, which the Rambam does not get credit for. People don't appreciate this. The Rambam, he wrote his parish, he wrote Mishneh Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. That was a novelty in his day. Because the other Mechabrim, other people who were writing Svarim, did not. The common language spoken was Aramaic. And also Arabic. Arabic. What?
Arabic.
Arabic, Aramaic, even the Talmidei Chacham who did not want to use Arabic, they used Aramaic. There's a lot of Arabic and Aramaic, but Lashon Kodesh was a novelty that the Rambam wrote the Sefer Mishneh Torah in Lashon Kodesh. I mean, we don't even blink. Today, the Dvarim Pshutim, today all the Svarim are written in either Lashon Kodesh or a little bit of a mix. A lot of the Yeshivish Svarim, the ones that are made by people who don't know modern Hebrew, it's a very simple Hebrew. And the Israelis, the Haredim who live in Eretz Yisrael, so they speak a fluent. Modern Hebrew, so they can't help but when write a sefer, a Haredi sefer, they can't on the Gemara, they can't help but not include a little shtickle modern Hebrew, or at least the style of modern Hebrew definitely creeps into their svarim. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, he's one of the biggest Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. So all of his svarim are half modern Hebrew. It's half Lashon Kodesh and half modern Hebrew. You know Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. Now I'm referring to Aleinu L'Shabeach. Okay, that's one of many, many sets of Svarim. Okay, so here he writes, the Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah. The Sefer, the Sipur, Uba, Usanam Shul Amin means Nitna Hatara Hakadaisha. Okay, so the point he says that Hashem created the world with Lashon Kodesh, and it's with Lashon HaKodesh that Hashem speaks, and He gave us the Torah, was written in Lashon Kodesh. Uveshem amar nevuchim hevi shalafit shaloi nimtzu bo shemos leivori ha-mishkal alke nikra l'shoyin HaKodesh. Why is it called holy? So one of the popular answers, and this is a quote from what he writes here from the Mor Nevuchim, is because there are no words to describe marital relations. There is no word in the Torah to describe what is called shegel. Shegel means ishus, matters of ishus. There is no Hebrew word in the entire Torah to describe. So it shows a degree of sensitivity. Holiness is tznius.
We have yishkevena, we don't read it. That's
right. Right, we don't read it. Right? We don't. Yishkevena. There are no words to describe the Ivam. I shouldn't say there's no words to describe the act. That's another thing I'm sorry. To describe the action we do have, I'm sorry, but the limbs, the organs. There are no words to describe the body parts that are involved in this act. Next. Another yidia is that since the malachim do not pay attention to tefillah that is expressed in Aramaic, even though Aramaic is the cousin, is the closest thing to Lashon HaKodesh, it goes to show that the Malachim do not have any regard for anything other than Lashon HaKodesh. Some want to say this Kal V'Chomer. If they don't want to pay attention to a tefillah that's in Aramaic, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, they're not going to pay attention to a tefillah that's expressed in English or in other languages. The only thing they only want to listen to is Lashon HaKodesh. Even Aramaic, which is so close to Lashon HaKodesh, they're not going to participate, they're not going to listen to. So certainly other tefillahs, yeah?
They ask,
Yosef,
since Gabriel came and taught him the
70
languages, how is that?
He's going to discuss that. How do you get what he was?
How did he do it? We said the angel.
It's a miracle.
No, Gabriel did. Obviously.
There's a famous author of Yosef Chaim Zonfeld. He says that Yosef, the Malach, came to Yosef and he taught him all 70 languages in one night. Impossible. How could that happen? You have to say it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you can learn 70 languages in one night. But he says, but one thing we don't find, even if you can do the pull off the miracle of learning the entire language in one night, you can't learn the entire Shas in one night. To learn Shas, it's a good word for the Sima Shas, to learn Shas, it's the real deal. That takes amelus. You have to spend 7.5 years going daf al daf to go and conquer Shas. Next, Omnam, Kosav Shakol Lufi Kavanas Aleva Atar B'machshavta Yanikiyah Shalom Medab V'loshen Zo. You do it in one day. You can do it.
That's the knock on daf yom. People think they learned the daf and they went through 7 years. They think, well, I went through shots.
Well, you know what they say. The joke is, that the people who learn daf yom, they say to the Bnei Yeshiva, we learn 1 week more, we cover more ground. We cover more ground in 1 week than you, the ground that you cover in a year. Stand in yeshiva, how many daf do they learn in the whole zman? They learn 5 daf a zman, 10 daf a zman, so in 1 week we do 7 daf in a week, we cover more ground. So the yeshiva bracha says to the balabas who sleeps through the daf yomi, yeah, but we in 1 hour, we spend more time learning in 1 hour than you spend the whole week. You come to the daf and you sleep right through it. Okay. Oh yeah, but everyone learns a different. Everyone learns 10 daf. What 10 daf is it? 5.
12
10 daf. It's very nice. You learn the whole shit. Sign up.
As I have it in the house now, what he took when he went to the army, he had a 1 volume shot.
1 volume. You showed this to me. 4 daf on one page. They have 4 daf on one page.
Like this thing, but the pages are paper thin.
Paper thin. They are photocopies on one page. Omnam kosav shakol fi kavanas alevat haru machshavta yahani kiyash lo machabish amedam beloshen zos shahay shemaharu al yedecha bedivre kedusha oz yesh bekoich lepol devar minoram udibur chavul fiyabak kol shvaruchu. Okay, so he says here that all depends. Just because a person speaks in Hebrew, it's meaningless. You can speak in Hebrew; it'll have absolutely no effect on your neshama unless that when you speak in Hebrew, the words, the holiness of the language penetrates your neshama. You have kavana. The sasim usmechin bo kol tzva mala. All of heaven is rejoices with you when you have kavana and you take to heart the holiness of the language of what it represents. Umiskamsim of the kam uboim lishmoy halosh nakodesh kibinei adam shemiskamsim lishmoy v'liros bimaz mutei chosin kala. Just like people come together, they go watch the celebration of chosin kala. The angels in heaven, they come together, they celebrate and they observe when a person speaks in lashon kodesh, a person who speaks with holiness and appreciates what he's saying. Just like the people come to a wedding and they observe a chasn kala rejoice. Lefi yisra hamachshava, depending on a person's thoughts, hazaka that are pure, v'hakavana hayishara bimilseha, v'hastaklus birimiza v'sisreha, and paying attention to the hints of the language and the secrets of the language, alpiyotia minakis hahasaga huelokus b'yeser seis v'yesos. That's how much a person will succeed and purify his neshama. So therefore, he goes on to present what traditionally was the reason why people avoided speaking in Lashon Kodesh. You should not use a language that is inherently holy for mundane activities, to talk in business, to curse one another, to fight, and to talk in business, mundane matters. It's not proper to speak in a holy language, a language that the world was created with. In Cain, clear one to clear the kedusha. You say the concept of loydin l'shtamish b'vul devar b'kain m'shal hadyados ala el yani sechayk v'cheshek v'chasul u'shtos lechalel kedusha soy chalil lachul inhid lechachamim hayisharim hakshedim v'oy lahem la'isam shechibrei sifrei agvus v'nibul peh. People that go and they compose different books of nonsense. Nibul peh bo b'pritzin v'chaluha. They make it as a instrument for love songs. People who use it as a language to insult their friend, alidei kisvei pilastar chosur. The koloin esachayim v'yes hanesim otu b'shoy askinan kai gav naskinan genai l'ish yehudi shamdu avoysav al harsina l'saper merishom ke'ilu she'enu rak yishol tzuvim, they're fakers b'gavon ha'hechsher seruchei tibulim u'meshuchim I don't know what that word is laharos noim bosar. I know what those words are. Okay, so the basic idea is to summarize is that Lashon HaKodesh is a holy language, and unfortunately, people who use this for mundane matters are degrading and profaning the holiness of the language. And al achas kama v'kama, people that take the Hebrew language, they use it to make poems of shtus and love songs, is they're doing a very great disservice to the holy language. Lefi zeh kosaf sh'af al pi shechutar ledaber boi b'mekoymos hametu nafos d'chav yehi v'lo yechutra elo d'chu yehi v'lo yechutra elo midoichik haynu levake shtaver hatzorch l'adam sh'am be'esahi sh'yevsho m'mibaladam. Let's say you need to speak the holy language in a place that's filthy, dirty. There is unclean things. It's mutar b'diavet. U'mi she'enu makir lashon acher advar hamurim aval hayodeh v'shmeh lashon acher is vaday chayiv linoig ba silsul shel l'shtamish lashon hakodesh afilu binyani chol bi'alma b'mokim naki. Kol she'kein b'mokim b'tunav. It's not proper to speak lashon kodesh in a place that is dirty, in a place where there is baby diapers or in a place where there is pritzos, it's not, it's disrespectful for the language. Godless sigulosa, when you learn Torah alamala, to learn in lashon kodesh. I have la kodesh boker rikim upayis poyel belyonim uvetachtonim ubori alamos chadoshim kino noda midivrei hamukubalim lechachnu emes. Oh, so therefore, bottom line over here, he says that it's not proper to speak this language for mundane activities and not to speak it in places that are dirty. But when you're using it to learn Torah, then it is ideal. Oid kosav tsarich lihizor oid bikducha saloshin lahashkiach alech lashama ki ishoin shlo yale bikirma charul vikimshoin al yidei laage safa vikvat peh. Don't let people who do not appreciate the language abuse it. Uvitoras moisha ala posuk, that's the chasam soifer. Here is this week's parasha, ke in yoni diyoma, ki pi hamidaber aleichem. Perish Rashi, Biloshon HaKodesh, one of the signs, the simonim, that Yosef revealed to his brothers to prove authentically that he is Yosef, was he spoke to them in Lashon Kodesh. Ki segulas Lashon HaKodesh lo yiskayim ba'odam she'enoi meshamer atzmai b'kedusha she'pele godol hu b'golus bovel b'zman ayin shana nishkach Lashon HaKodesh, it was forgotten very quickly. V'hoyu l'om chitzim midaber kastis, the people what? Chetziam, half of them. Chetziam midaber kastis v'ashdudis yanki loishamu atzman b'kedusha. This is one of the big mysteries. Okay, this is the big mystery which he discusses. He devotes almost a whole chapter to in Rabbi Klein Sefer, and that is, we know that the Jews spoke Yiddish in Poland for almost a thousand years. And every other nation that was exiled in ancient times, they came to a new land, and we know that they continued to speak their native language for hundreds, if not thousands of years. How could it then be that the Jewish people, only 70 years after they were exiled from Yerushalayim, they forgot the language? And when Ezra went and took them up to Eretz Yisrael, the psukim there indicate that no one knew, the people didn't know the language. Ad kedei kach, that Sefer Daniel and parts of Ezra and Nehemiah were written in Aramaic because that was the common language that people understood. How could it be? What? The Meturgim, well, that's the Meturgim. But how could it be that only after 70 years, we know that during the time of the Bayis Rishon they spoke in Lashon Kodesh. How could it be only 70 years later the Jewish people forgot their native language? The answer is, this is a mystery. This is a mystery which Al Pi Derech HaTeva has no answer. There is no precedent. There is no nation in the world.
It's really bad. I think, on a basic level, who were the first people who were killed? Were the intelligentsia, or was the Rabbanim, the parents?
Yeah.
The Rabbanim are the first ones killed. It's the new generation that's born.
Yeah.
They have no one to teach them. So all they need to learn is the place where they're living.
Yeah, but we have the Choresh v'Hamasker. According to Chazal, the people that were...
around to learn from. So they didn't have the ability.
But that...
To us from 33 to 45... We lost 12 years only, basically, but we lost all the Rabbanim, were killed first.
Okay.
And look how stupid everybody
is. Okay, so you want to say Al Derech Pshat. You're searching for a natural reason why the language got. Okay, but he says over here that and every client says that all that these answers are not fully satisfactory. And the only reason it can be explained is a supernatural reason why it was forgotten is because Lashon Kodesh is the holy language. And once you're no longer living a life of holiness, you're no longer living in Eretz Yisrael, you're in Golis, you're among the Goyim, it's supernatural. Hashem does not tolerate, does not allow that His holy language should be preserved among people who are not living in a holy land and are not conducting themselves in holy ways. And that explains the supernatural occurrence why Lashon Kodesh was forgotten by the masses in a short period of only 70 years. Why don't we learn Bizman? Why is it that today it's not the most popular language? Yesh Sam Alev Lilmoid Libanoi Lashon Aravis Ivris Bitsachus clearly, fluently, Haloshan Kurai, Vizeh Gorma Inyan Bizoyan HaTorah. He complains, it's called the disgrace of the Torah, Ki Ein HaTorah Nechsheves L'chlum De Avonoseinu HaRabim Oy Lanu Me Elboina Shal Torah Halayhi Chayenu V'Orech Yameinu V'Hi Taisif Ahava Bein Yisrael Lach L'Shbaruch B'chol Oifen. And the Yaris Vash complains bitterly, why isn't today that today we do not study, it is not our primary form of communication to speak in Lashon Kodesh. When one nation is exiled and they come b'shchunas zois ha'acheres oy amo be'artz ratzolema miktsas anshe zuhu umo tishtate if im miktsas zuhu acheres hine yikoro mitzad mitzad ha'kirvo oy ha'shchuna shetilmoid zo l'shoyna b'miktsas anoshecha b'zman korov. It's very natural that when you change locations, you should learn the language of your host country. Yet, the omnom is man rochok oy lebnei machareim kvar yischayiv behechach shidabu b'shtei lashonos yachad roiv amidam yachad oy kulam ad shekol achas mehem loytakir lashon harishon eze b'shneim hi rishon ella im yesham kesiv asvam mivdelus bein zol zol two different books v'ze ba'avnasenu hanachnu am echad kemat korolon b'bnei haspazru seinu bein ha'umos harabois v'bein halashonos hamishunim ששכחנו כל לשוננו וצחוסה ודקדוקה ונדרה כמעט בבני רויב ומאומה סיינו. That's what has happened to us. Because we have gone into exile among all of the nations, our language, our heritage, our language has been forgotten from us. Not for the fact that we have some books, we still have some sorrow from the olden days, it would be completely forgotten. Look at the Arabs. They did not forget their language. All the foreign nations, Medabrim Loyazois, the Ashkenazim, the Germans, Ashkenazis, the Targumim, Targumis, whatever that is, the Chen Ashar Kulam, the Abam Apella Hagadalhu, Mashakara La Yehudim, Bechol Iskilira, okay, all over the world, Shehein, Eina Medabrim Beloshon Laj, Beloshon Yavon Levad, Kilashoinas Haloyazim, Hayavanim Shadonim Mohem, Aval Sharmulashoin Aravi, Shalamdu Miyam Kadmoinim Bees, Hayois Hayishmaelim Dorim Sham. Jews are still speaking in Arabic. They're still speaking Arabic. Velu Shamarnu Lashona Kodesh Anachnu Vahim Ahoya Yoisa Roy Vahoya Oz Rov Anshe Yimanu Chachmenu Amavinu Yodim Lashon. If only we would have focused and preserved the holy language, we would be a lot smarter and a lot more knowledgeable today than we are. Okay, so that's the basic Yisoid. Lashon HaKodesh, it's the great tragedy that we do not speak today Lashon HaKodesh. But on the other hand, learning Lashon HaKodesh comes with a very great responsibility to maintain its sanctity. And not to speak Lashon HaKodesh in places that are dirty, or not to speak it, not to use it for mundane activities, but to use it and to appreciate it for holy purposes. Okay, the next paragraph, very short chart over here, is writing a person should have with them the Ksav Yichus. Is this gaiva? Is it arrogant to have to brag about your yichus? Besugin mishemeis Rebbe batla anava of the yiraschet. Amar le Rav Yosef latana lo tisne anava. Don't teach anava.
Don't list
anava. Dika ana. I exist. That's the biggest contradiction, right? The biggest contradiction. I'm an anav. Amar le Rav Nachman latana lo tisne yiraschet dika ana. Don't say there's no such thing as yiraschet. There is I. So the most satisfactory answer I heard to explain what this means is, Rav Yosef did not mean to say that I am humble. And Rav Nachman does not mean to say that I'm a Yoriche. What he meant to say was, I lived in a generation where I saw the real thing. So if someone today will come along and say they're humble, they'll have to pass a test with me. I'm not humble. I don't make any claims to be humble, but I know what the real thing is because I saw the real thing. So someone today that's going to, they'll say about a certain person, oh, he's humble. Let me check him out. I'll check him out and I have memories of the real deal and I'll see how he compares to my memories and I'll let you know if this person is the real deal. Same thing with Yiras Chet, and it's so true. That's one of the things that we have to, that they all criticize today about this generation, is that today no one's the real deal. Today everyone is just copying. They're just copying what they saw, what they heard about, or what they imagined to be, but it's not the real deal. He was a remnant of the Dor HaYoshen, where he still knew what the real thing was. Next, Beperish Hamishnah LeHarambam Kosav Ani Moshe Bar Maimon Hadayon Rabbi Yosi HaChacham Rabbi Yitzchak Hadayon Rabbi Yosi Hadayon. One more time. Ani Moshe Ben Maimon Hadayon Bar Yosi HaChacham Bar Yitzchak Hadayon. Yichus Bar Yosef Hadayon. He's calling all these people the judges. Bar Oivad Yohu Hadayon Bar Shlomo Baharav. Bar Shloimeh Harav, he wasn't a Dayan. Okay, Bar Avad Yahu Hadayan, Zecher Kedoshim Levracha, may all of my ancestors be remembered Levracha. Hischalti Lechave Perish Zevani Ben Sholosh V'Eshim Shon, I'm 23 years old. So the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnah, in the very beginning, this is a very important Hagdamah to the Rambam, he's Miyaches, his Yichus, all the way back these generations, and he records he was 23 years old. So the question over here is, why did the Rambam do this? Is the Rambam coming to brag? He's coming to pride himself? Look how great I am. Look how great I am. Look at my yichus. I come from all of these great holy rabbis. Look how far back I go. Inin ze shel hazcharas yichus hu nidun aruch b'poiskim. This approach to relating your yichus is a great discussion in the poiskim. V'stei kosav. You shouldn't do this. Let someone else praise you. Don't praise yourself. I am the son of this one and that one. Shneir hepuch sefer chasidim. So he's coming to challenge this minog. Why is it so that it is very common among the Jews, the rabbanim in Germany, when they would begin the hakdama to their sefer, they would be miyaches, they would tell you who they are, and they would trace their lineage as far back as they could, similar to what the Rambam has done. This appears to go against what it says in Chazal, that a person should be exceedingly humble. Batla anava bali yaschet. So what is going on? So he goes further. It's not so terrible. Don't get alarmed. There was sefer tfilas David kosav hoaderes mitivi and mitivi. It's my nature. Ani soni es hagayva. Oid mi aldusi v'katnusi ti'avti b'libi yeso isha shereisi bo simone gaiva. My nature is to hate gaiva. I do not tolerate gaiva in myself, and I do not tolerate other people who show signs of arrogance. Kifi dimyuni baruch Hashem she'ein b'libi, according to my dimyuni, according to what I believe, my impression upon myself, she'ein b'libi shum shemetz gaiva ki im pa'amim harbe ani roya tiv. Tiv, however, on the other hand, sometimes I do see tiv kishro nusi umalois hama atorois bi avu baruch Hashem eini nifal lehiskos ali deze. Okay, very strange. He says, I recognize, I know that I'm very smart, I know my potential, I know my strengths, but I'm confident that it has not changed my character. I know where I'm holding, I'm better than all you here, I'm smarter, I have a better IQ, but I know that it does not affect my character. I'm not going to abuse you because of my superiority. B'yichud, Ein ritzoni lehistarer al zulasi. Specifically, I have no desire lehistarer to rise above al zulasi yiyeh mishiyeh, to abuse, to stand above any other person. Isha gadol katan yodea sefer a boor, anyone who's a talmud chacham or an ignoramus. Umashu asisi lepamim kein hishtarus. This, that at times I do things with I stand above other people with authority. It was against my will. It's not because I want to dominate. It's because it's my job. That's my job. My job is to lay down the law of the land. My heart disturbs me. Okay, so what is he trying over here to say? So he seems to over here to say that when the Rambam lists off his yichus, the Rambam is not coming to brag. The Rambam is just trying to let you know that I'm the real deal. I'm the real deal, and the Masara, that what I'm about to teach you, you should have confidence that I'm telling you things that have been passed down through the generations, and it's authentic, and you should take my interpretation of the Mishnayis to heart and realize that it's been Masara. But in no way does the Rambam mean to brag when he lists off his yichas. Okay, and that is the meaning of a true honor. We all know that Moshe, or Ish Moshe, honor of only called Adam Shapnei Adama. The true taicha of Anunav is a person that knows where he's holding. He knows his milos, he knows his strengths, and he does not allow these strengths to affect his character. Okay, let's go to the next last paragraph here. Kosev ben Beb ben Yishchai b'sefer ben Yehoyada shehayis Shabris Krusulis Fasayim. A person should be careful what he says. Toshash Rabbi Yosef Pen Bilamdoi Divriatana de Kamar Bola Anova Yiskaber Hayet Sahara Machmas Adover Hazevi Natsheu Levatel Hemen Midas Anova Oi Alkoponim Lehal Hachlisha Ulzois Omar Dika Ano. So he says something very strange. He says that when he actually said this, Asher tihilois lekel zochisti ulchein choishes ani pen dvarim elu mizdamin shetinatel mimeni kibris kuslus vasayim oid betarit sham loit titni lefnei. Okay, I know what this means. I know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
What he's saying is basically he says, if when you read the statement, vatla anava, oh, there's no anava, so whatever I say is, I don't have to worry about it because it's not enough.
Whatever I say
even
is,
even if I say that I'm an anav,
yeah,
it doesn't matter because there is no anav in the world. Vatla anava. There's no concept of anova anymore.
Yeah, and therefore?
And therefore,
Bris Kuslus Vasayim, Bodla Anova.
I can say anything. So he came along and said, no, there is such a thing as anova. You have to be careful. You have to be careful.
Okay. That's what he's trying to say. He said, don't take it so seriously.
Don't take it as a statement of fact.
A fact.
There is no such thing as anova.
Don't take it as a statement of fact that on his madriga there's no number, but there is still enough in the world. That saying this statement, you're opening up your mouth to the subtle. They're no longer going to attempt to strive to achieve the greatness and humility. Megidroy v'Omar ani anvasan. He did it l'shem shemayim. Don't say it's not so. There is still something called anava, and people should try to emulate people who are humble in the generation. Mimeni tiru v'chein tasu. Look at me and follow my ways. Oyrain v'harim yafos. Emutul adam l'saper alatzmer shu yor shemayim is a proper person's yor shemayim v'ayin sham be parshas egev. Okay. Let's do another. Let's turn to the other page. Let's do another. Shtickle before we conclude. Okay, let's go and jump to Bishul Oichel Avor Yoyim Hamacharas. This is very bizarre. We'll do these next two things. Okay, these two. Is a person allowed to prepare for tomorrow? Prepare, cook for tomorrow. And obviously, this is very really off the charts what it says here. Kosaf Hamogin Avram B'Shem Azoya Kodesh. Low, what? No, even from Monday to Tuesday. You're not allowed to prepare. It's a lack of emuna. If you're going to prepare lunch today for tomorrow, he says here, don't take this seriously. Okay, this is for entertainment purposes only. Okay, this is not to be taken literally. He says it. Kosav Hamogin Avram B'Shem Azoya Hakadosh Lo Liboy Inish Levashola Mezoynem In Yoyma Liyoyma Achrini. A person should not cook food from day to day, and don't have anything in the refrigerator from day to day. You don't prepare for tomorrow, and don't cook today.
When was this written?
What?
When was this written?
This was written, the Magen Avraham, he's quoting the Zohar. So the Zohar was written 1,000 years ago. He's quoting the Zohar. So we would have Kolaimar. So what does it mean until he explains? Kolaimar. Kolaimar. Tzarech Adam Shaloi.
Every day.
Tzarech Adam Shaloi Levashel Mezoinais Miyoim Liyoim Acher. A person should not cook food from today for tomorrow. The Zohar says that when the day is over, make sure the refrigerator is empty. Make sure you have consumed all the food, or you have distributed all the food to your neighbors, and what will be tomorrow, do not worry, what will be tomorrow will be tomorrow.
There is no problem. So many restaurants.
The restaurants. Okay, look. Let's go further. Don't leave now. Gam be Mishnah Berurah Hevi Devar. Let's see what it says. The Mishnah Berurah says Hevi Devar of Rabbi Ratan Bezek Kedei. Why? Sheyivakeish b'chol yom al mizaynaisav v'yistakechu al yaday brachan b'chol yom v'yom al le'ela. So that a person every single day should feel the need to pray to Hashem for his needs, and he should find new blessings from HaKadosh Baruch Hu from above should be sent down to this world. A person should train himself to need to come onto the Ribbono Shel Olam daily. And therefore a person should not live a life where he puts away things for later on. He puts himself in a position where he does not need to come onto the Ribbono Shel Olam, where he fools himself in thinking that his future is secure. No, now let's not. No savings account. No pensions. Shut down the whole government. He don't need to worry what's going to be tomorrow. Okay, let's go further. Let's see what it says over here. B'shut leiv chayim kosaf. Shekein mevur gam besugim b'divrei Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Call me sheyesh loy pas pesala. If a person has bread in his basket today, v'oimer, and he declares, ma oich alamachar, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Einai, this person has made a statement, he has broadcast to the world that he is from the group of Ketani Amona. Einai ela mi Ketani Amona, he has shown that he lacks faith. V'hoisifu bir, she'ein hadramum ela b'negeel l'bishlu v'yafiyas hamalacham, it's only when it comes to cooking and preparation of food. Ach, b'negea l'kniyas hamachalim, oh, here already we're getting some of the leniencies. The Shut Leif Chaim is telling us some leniencies. It only comes, this halach of the Zohar is only when it comes to food preparation, but when it comes to the purchasing of the raw materials, flour, potatoes, to have carrots.
So you have to eat fresh.
Fresh, okay. You have to prepare, the food has to be prepared fresh. But purchasing, let's see. You can acquire grain for an entire year. This is incredible. Chiddush bishul v'afia yiyah kol yoyim biyoymoy v'sayim. He concludes. Sheshama m'sham mekubal Rabbi the mekubal, the holy mekubal Rabbi Shalom Sharabi. Hayu oifon loy b'chol yom v'yom charora acheres mitam divrei hazoyer hakadosh. Okay, very interesting concept, that there is a balance. You have to have the raw materials available, but you still have to prepare the food daily. I guess by preparing the food daily, it makes an impression, there's a trickle-down effect, that when you prepare the food daily, it reminds you of this Maimer Chazal, of Kol Mi Sheyesh Lei Pas Besalei, and you're worried what's going to be tomorrow. Ein Eila Miketani Amona. It's a token fulfillment. I have plenty of money in the savings account, but every single day you make new preparations, even though technically you do not need to do so. You can make all the preparations way in advance and just glide through your refrigerator and your cabinet for a week or a month in advance. No, there is an inyan that every single day a person should do a pu'ula, should do an action in order to recognize that you need to come on to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Next, Yeshakasush, Einizom Klal B'Divrei HaMagen Avraham Kuvur B'Divrei Torah. There are those who write that this thing that we just quoted, the Magen Avraham quote, so the Magen Avraham did not live all that long ago. He only lived, what, 250 years ago? Unless the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham did not live all that long ago. And the Magen Avraham is quoting the Zohar to eat fresh food. So he says that we do not follow this. This is something which we do not follow with Zman Hazeh at all. A person can have in his refrigerator enough food for a month. Can have in his kitchen closet enough food for a month. Why? Shevi Divrei Hazohar HaKadosh Anal Kvukosav Lo Shamati Mi'olam. He writes, Mi'olam Mi Shemachmer B'zeh. No one is machmer in this. Shaloi Levashel Mi'yoyim Echol L'chaveroi. We don't follow this. And furthermore, the Aruch HaShulchan also writes, Shkosav She'ein Nishodim Be'inyin Zeh. Period. Uvizor Echai. Okay, that's a later parish in the Zohar. Kosav She'af L'das HaMogin Avram. Even according to the Magen Avraham. Im Nishal Odom Me'atav Shal Mutal L'Ochle L'Mochor. You don't have to throw it out. The leftovers also L'Zorko B'Shem Bal Tashchis. The Einak when the Zohar writes, when the Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, it's not coming. Elosh lechatchila lo yivashal avur beiz yamim. Lechatchila, don't think into the future. Don't think too far into the future. Think. Don't worry about the present. The Sefer Meishav Halacha Kasav shalukul yalma mutu levashal lesudas mitzvah shel mochar. You're allowed to prepare. Now, when it comes to sudas mitzvah, that's the exception. When you're preparing for sudas mitzvah, you can prepare in advance. Kadesh lo yachar hamitzvah. The mitzvah should not be delayed. She'ein ze elak mivashal erev Shabbos. For example, erev Shabbos, we prepare Friday for Shabbos. But it's impossible otherwise. Pavu Shabbos odayim mishnah halacha sheherech b'divrei HaMagen Avraham Hanal. Okay, this comes to mind. This I once had a conversation with an administrator in a yeshiva. I was once. Yes, years ago, when I was making some good money, I had a very good job, and I was making some nice money. I gave a donation, so I gave a donation. They said, "Oh, you have money to give a donation? Got a new fish, right?" So they wanted me to give a donation, a large donation, or commit myself to give a large donation for an endowment, meaning that, and though the money will not be spent. They had a new program in this yeshiva where the money is not going to be spent at all today. And it's going to be put away in this fund, and the guarantee there's going to be significant return. I don't know how to guarantee anything, who can guarantee anything today, but the guarantee there's going to be a significant return, and then in 10, 15, 20 years, the yeshiva will have funds, an endowment, like they do all over. I should be a partner in, they want, what they basically were trying to do is that every class, every graduating class, all of the students in the class should come together, and they pool their money, and the money will put in an endowment, and the money, and then the class itself will come together, everyone should be good and well in 15 years and 20 years, and then when the fund matures in 15, 20 years, the money will be not, it'll be the yeshiva's money, but the yeshiva will not have access to decide what to do with the money, and the class will then meet in 15, 20 years and decide what to do with the money then. Should they go and they use the money to hire a new teacher, to build a new building, whatever it is, whatever they want, whatever funds were available. So I said to the administrator, what you're telling me to do is kineged everything we learned in yeshiva. When we're in yeshiva, we have the Yetzer Sahara, we should leave yeshiva, and we should go to college, and we should advance our skills. Yeah, to advance our skills to make a good parnasa. And the response was, no, have emunah. Don't go too far. Don't do too much hishtadlus in preparing for the future. You don't know what the future is going to be. Right now you have an opportunity to learn, to study Torah, so you learn, have emunah, and don't worry what the future will bring. That was the attitude. That was the attitude. Not to do your shaita, not to do anything, but don't do too much hishtadlus. Learn. So you're coming here and you're telling me now we should do something now. We should give a lot of money now to prepare what's going to be for 20 years from now. 20 years from now, who knows what's going to be for 20 years from now? Isn't that against the entire culture of what the yeshiva stands for? The yeshiva, we were brought up with a hashkafa of this chazal. Mi sheyesh lei pas pesalei, the yoymar, what's going to be tomorrow, hareza mikitani amana. That was the attitude. I think that's the attitude in all of the yeshivas. All the yeshivas says, if you have an opportunity now to devote yourself to learning Torah, so right now, take advantage. Take advantage and study Torah. What's going to be in 5 years from now, you're not mechuyav to worry about. That was the attitude. And here you're coming, you're approaching the entire class, all the class, you tell them they should give money, and you should put the money away. The money's going to be in an endowment fund. It's going to be locked away for 20 years. In 20 years, you'll all convene, and you'll decide where to direct the money. You worried what's going to be in 20 years from now. So he was like stumped. He didn't know what to say to me. He didn't know what to say. Like, you got me, got ya. You didn't know what to say. That l'chore, this approach, I don't know. Maybe it's a foolish thing. What I said to him was a foolish thing. When it comes to learning, that's one thing. When it comes to being financially wise and preparing for the future, you have to make your ishtaglus. You have to make sure. By the way, I didn't give him any money because I didn't have any money to give. They were mistaken. They were mistaken in thinking that I had money to give. But they did not appreciate, one thing was certain, they did not appreciate that I gave them Musar when I didn't at least give them money. Save the Musar. Just give us the money and save the Musar for yourself. What? No, I believe not. I believe that yeshiva did not invest with Megahar. I don't think they were part of the fallout. Kaddish the Rabbanan. It sounds like a great idea. What I liked about the idea, I thought it was, is that the yeshiva, the way it was presented is they have no control. The only thing the yeshiva has, it's their money. But how the money will be spent can only be decided by the group. 20 years from now, the money will mature. There will be a significant amount of money, depending on how much money is coming to the fund, into the endowment fund. And then in 20 years from now, the only ones that can decide how the money should be spent will be this group. I'm sure the yeshiva will have advisors then, and they'll say, you know, we can use, we'll recommend. Well, these are what we recommend, but they gave, it's a very powerful idea. You give control to the investors, and people love control. If you have control, so that's very enticing. You give money, and you don't know what the money's happened to the money. You feel you're totally out of loss. It's a great idea. I thought it was a very powerful idea, and I'm sure they did it. They definitely did it with a bunch of different groups. They did it, but I say it's Kineged Kol Torah Kula. The yeshiva, you worried what's going to be in 20 years? In 20 years, you have a moon. There'll be Mashiach will come. There'll be other people that will support the yeshiva. And if it's not meant to be, so Torah moves. There's no guarantees. Torah travels. Torah travels. What in history? The yeshivas have only been around for 400 years. The Volozhiny yeshiva was the first yeshiva. Is that correct? Yeshivas have only been around for about 400 years. So study history, 400. What is the average lifespan of a yeshiva? In America, the average lifespan of a business, it used to be, it's probably less today, was 7 years. When I was in college, part of the course they taught us, the average business, the average started, that was before, Silicon Valley, when every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a startup. So probably it's a lot shorter today. Probably an average business today is probably like 3 years. What's the guarantee? Some business around. What is the lifespan of the average business? So what is the lifespan of an average yeshiva? You know, Torah travels. Torah travels. Nothing is forever. Things change. All right, let's do one more paragraph, and we'll finish. Be'er Sheva, Kosim Levar Mash Amu B'Sugin Sha'ilam Oimir Al Yehei Shmei Rabba Di'Agadat. The world stands on Yehei Shmei Rabba Di'Agadat. What does that mean? Shekavonas Nokt Shebshebri Bekavon Noktu Di'Agadat. Akavagadat means Lashmenu Shedavka La'Achar Limur Agada Shem Kaddish. This means you learn Agada. And after you learn Agada, you recite Kaddish.
Only if you learn Agada.
And that is why sometimes when you learn Halacha, they finish off. Amar b'chanan nekasha, ratzak l'shmeruch l'zakos es yishol, in order that you should be mitzvah with dvar Agada. Ulam, liachalim halachas dim, the dinim, the isum, the het, the tumah, the tarah, einam, kaddish, you do not say this, how you don't say it. Because since the Gemara says that the oilam is omin al, on yehe shmei rabba, de agadita. Therefore, if you're not learning Agada, Halacha, you do not recite Kaddish. Kemen shenim, sashem, nikbatsim, because the point he wants to make is because we want to group together the Amei Haratzim, people who are not learned.
In the morning when we say the Rabbi's Kaddish, what Agada do we learn?
You learn the Braisa, the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. The Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, so he's saying, where is the Agada? Where is the Agada? You say the brides of Rabbi Yishmael, and that ilchor is halacha. The yud gil midrash atar midrashes. So you're asking a question, but so you I don't know the answer. You stump me. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
So everything else seems to be, it's all on the kabbanos.
Right. It's all. It's Mishnah. Mishnah Shmaitzah, what it says here. I don't know the answer. Let's go for it. Let's use it. V'ula magad agam yaretz amivinim v'chmoy v'kdusha v'sidrat shakol yishol yishiboy afilu am yaretz mivinim v'yisov v'chein chachov v'kveyash rashi. Ulam kaz v'shadas haramam shalimim kadesh bein achar limer agada bein achar limer halacha chiyetzi bozeh. Okay, so this is an important concept, and some people indeed they follow this. I've seen Rabbanim that are very strong on this, and they say that you do not need to say after you finish Mishnayis Omar Rabbi Chanan Akasha, because the Rambam disagrees with this principle. The Rambam says, Shadas Rambam Shoyim Kadosh Bein Achalim Mer Agodle Bein Achalim Mer Halachas Chiyetz Bav Ulam Gav Al Kriyas Apsukim Belvad Kmo Sheheim Ksuvim B'Torah Shemksav Einam Kadosh. At least learn a Mishnah or a Halacha. You can also recite Kaddish. Just do not recite Kaddish after Pesukim. El Adavka al Derisha ve'ein Adavka drush al drusha ve'ein drusha el b'toyrish al balpeh. Ve'ulai mishum hachi. So he says here a beautiful chiddush. Okay, this thing which really is interesting, new to me. This idea mishum hachi nikra Kaddish derabanan. Why is the Kaddish derabanan called Kaddish derabanan? Simply, your answer means because we pray for the rabbanan. Al Yisrael v'al rabbanan v'al talmidehon v'al kol talmidei salmidehon v'al kol monde oskin v'arayis v'diva asher hadein v'diva chol asar v'asar. The reason why it's called Kaddish derabanan is because in this Kaddish we add these expressions, these paragraphs where we pray. We pray for the success and the Hatzlacha, the bracha of the Rabbanan. The Rambam, he says here, that's one answer, but there's another answer. It's because you say this Kaddish only when you recite a memra, a statement that comes from the Rabbanan. You do not recite this Kaddish if you have only recited psukim in the Torah. If you want to recite this Kaddish, you have to say a pasuk and elaborate, express in Maimer Chazal the words of the Rabbanan, which includes a Mishnah, a Braisa, or any of the above. Ruai Mishamachim Mikra Kaddish the Rabbanan Kolema Kaddish Al Talmud Torah the Rabbanan the Hainu Shel Al Peh the Afugi Kaddish Yosem Regilim Loimer Kaddish Yosem, which you only say Al Kriyas Hapsukim Levad. Before, that's only a secondary reason we said before. The reason why we say it's called the Rabbanan is because we say this tefillah to pray for the success of the Rabbanan. Why does the world exist? Why does Hashem sustain the world in the merit of the Kaddish that is said on Agadata? The answer is because Agadata is something which is for the common man. Agada, every person is drawn to hear words of Agada. Yismach, Mosheches Lib Shalodim, Yismach Yisrael, V'chi Inyin Gavri, Yeheshmei Mitoch Simchas Mitzvah. And then, when the people that say Yeshmei Rabbah, they say Mitoch Simchas Mitzvah, Nichol Lema'areyu, V'koyim Alma, Hashem is happy. Hashem is happy when we are happy. V'mehach Taima Nogu Lema B'shilei Shmaitza, Rabbi Chananya Ben Akavya, Bavur Yismach Adam Sheyagoda Uzuchus Yisrael, V'oimim Kaddish D'Lahavi B'sug Yeshmei D'Agadatom, V'zel Minig V'loi Min Hadin. So he says here, New Yisoid, the reason why you're supposed to say Kaddish on Agadata is because we want you to say the Kaddish mitoch simcha. Isn't it a beautiful idea? If you learn a hard Mishnah, you walk away from the Mishnah depressed. You need some medicine, some uppers, because it's such a hard Mishnah, you feel humbled. I don't understand what in the world it says. You learn a hard daf gemara, you walk away depressed. I don't know what in the world is going on. But when you learn a geshmak, a gadata gemara, everyone knows what it means. Everyone is filled with simcha. So now when you say the Kaddish, you will recite the Kaddish mitoch simcha shal nitzva, and then a Kaddish Baruch Hu will have pleasure in Klal Yisrael. I don't know what that means. Rakesh, different from you, right? He writes different things about this idea. So the bottom line over here is, we have something called Kaddish Rabbanan, we have a new Yisoid, it's called Kaddish Rabbanan because it's only recited on a member of the Rabbanan. Or it's called the Rabbanan, we pray for the Rabbanan, and the reason why we focus on the Agada is in order that it should be simcha shel mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop and take a short